Let me invite you to turn with me this morning to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. We're going to start in verse 12 and read down to 22. So Psalms 33, starting in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from the heavens, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of any host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this gracious and wonderful day that you give to us as a people as we come together this day, this resurrection day, to celebrate, Father, what you've done for us, not only individually by this great gift of salvation, but, Father, by blessing us as a people. Father, we did not choose you. You chose us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask you to be with us as we consider your word this morning. You teach us your truths. Revitalize our hearts unto you. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, it is America's birthday, 234. Happy birthday, America. You know, with all her faults and all her failings, America is still the greatest place on earth to live. That's why literally millions upon millions cross the border. That's why they take ships. That's why they get into airplanes. They leave everything. They leave their land, their homelands, their homes, sometimes their families, sometimes their friends, to come to America. Happy birthday, America. Psalm 33:22 says, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Unfortunately today, many think America's best days are past. This kind of a defeatism, this kind of an anti-American spirit, is definitely not a can-do spirit. It doesn't recognize the genius of America, the skills, the strengths. We put a man on the moon. Our days are not over. We've just started. 234 is young for a nation. But the revisionist historians, they are determined to strip away any kind of character, integrity they find in our history, especially our founding fathers, saying that they were just a bunch of white men who were motivated by, not by biblical principles, but by greed, whose desire was for more wealth, more properties, more land. You know, nothing could be further from the truth. The signers of the Declaration of Independence had far more to lose than they did to gain. Most of them already were well-educated people. Most of them were already situated well as far as material things were concerned. There were 24 lawyers. There were 9 farmers. There were 11 merchants. They knew security. They knew prosperity. But they felt there was something more important than wealth and prosperity. They felt there was something more important, the cause of freedom. They knew by signing the Declaration of Independence that they were committing treason. Treason was an act against the king, which would have been death by hanging. Yet they signed anyway. John Hancock signed twice as large as all the other signers. And this is what he said. He said, now His Majesty can read my name without his spectacles. Stephen Hopkins, who was old at the time of the signing, his hands were shaking. But yet when he signed, he looked up and he said, gentlemen, my hand trembles, but my heart does not. You see, we need to understand, young people, we need to understand, all of us, that when we look at that flag, we're looking at a promise. We're looking at a divine blessing from God. We look at that flag because it tells us something about who we are as a people. It tells us that what we enjoy today, someone had to buy, probably with their life. Well, when people burn that flag, it's really kind of a sign of ignorance. They don't know the truth and they don't know what freedom really means. When people don't salute the flag, they don't put their hand over their heart, especially Americans. I mean, I don't want South Africans to do that. They don't need to do that. You know, Brits don't need to do that. I understand that. But as Americans, when we don't salute the flag, when we don't show some sense of what's happening behind the flag, it really shows us that we really don't understand our country at all. We might be well educated. We might be in high places, but we don't understand. You know, years and years ago, I remember when we were out in Montana, my dad was a first sergeant most of my life. And so most of my life was attention, salute, pledge. And so I noticed on one particular occasion that, you know, when they would lower and raise the flag in the morning and in the evening, they always played the national anthem. And this was during the Vietnam War. And so there was a lot of unrest in the military services. But we were out in Montana, we was out in the middle of nowhere, and there was about 100 guys on this base. But when that flag was being lowered, I noticed that a couple of the guys scrambled inside the barracks. They didn't want to attention, salute, pledge. They didn't want to do that. And so they ran inside. Well, when I was standing there, and I had my hand over my heart, I looked down and I saw my dad. And I saw him look. And I thought to myself, oops. Yeah. See, he saw those guys too. And for the next 2 weeks, guess what those guys got to do? Attention, salute, and they pledged. Every morning, every evening for 2 weeks. I bet they didn't run anymore when they heard the national anthem. Well, if you want respect, you got to be willing to give respect. If you want honor, you have to act honorably. Well, just as the revisionists don't want us to know our real history, they want to rewrite history in order to undermine the character, integrity of this nation. So, they also want to undermine our godly heritage. They try to downplay any reference to God, any godly action that was taken on our behalf as a nation. America has great and strong godly roots. You know, just as Alex Haley in the 70s made a movie called Roots, and it led black Americans back to their roots, so we too must awaken once again to our roots, our spiritual roots, which run deep. Benjamin Franklin said this, when he was challenged about opening every constitutional session with a prayer. Now listen to what he said. Sounds like today. He says, I've lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible for an empire to rise without his aid? And then he said, in the sacred scriptures tell us that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Our men, our women in Washington today don't seem to be aware of that truth, but we need to remind them of it, and we need to teach it to our children, and we need to live it ourselves. Look, the pilgrims didn't come to this country looking for more land. They came to this country looking for freedom, spiritual, religious freedom. They didn't come together on that first Thanksgiving Day to thank the Indians, although I'm sure they did. But they came together to thank God. The separation of church and state, we hear a lot about. Actually, the ACLU has that thing all mixed up and upside down. As Thomas Jefferson assured the Dansbury Baptist Association that the First Amendment was to keep government out of the church. Actually, I suppose the ACLU does have it right if they're reading Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, but not the Constitution of the United States. You see, actually, Marx wanted to keep biblical principles out of government. So they're right in that. They're just in the wrong country. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You see, when George Washington took the oath of office, he put his hand upon the Bible. His first official act as the President of the United States, the first President of the United States, was then to take that Bible and kiss it. Now, of course, that has become a tradition, isn't it? Placing the hand upon the Bible. But after he placed his hand on the Bible, after he kissed the Bible, you know what they did? 2 hours of worship and praise to God. It must have been a black church, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, it's amazing, isn't it? Does all that sound like that our founding fathers wanted to keep God out of government? Doesn't sound like to me. They wanted to keep government out of their faith. In 1776, 11 out of the 13 colonies required that one had to be a professing Christian. Now listen, to be eligible to run for a political office. Isn't that amazing? John Adams wrote this in 1798. He said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to a government of any other kind." I think we're finding out that that's true. The further and further we get from God, the more nonsense comes in. Don't let anybody rob you of your heritage. We are privileged to live in this great country where opportunity abounds. We have, as a nation, a great biblical heritage. From the very beginning to this present day, biblical principles were used as models for government and daily behavior. The three branches of American government, according to Madison, were based upon Isaiah 33:22. That verse says, "For the Lord is our judge," judicial, "and the Lord is our lawgiver," the legislative branch, "and the Lord is our king," the executive branch. He will save us. The greatness of America is her great God who gave us freedom. The greatness of America is in her people, a people who honor the Lord. You know, the guilt of present day America lies in our indifference, our complacency to the wonderful heritage that we have received. Edmund Burke said this, "All that is necessary for triumph of evil is that good men do nothing." The Bible makes it clear, our God would rather forgive and restore than to judge. We know that in our heart of hearts, the solution for today does not lay in the White House. It does not lay in the State House. It does not lay in the courthouse. It really lays in the hands of God's people humbling themselves before God. So long as there are homes where that fire burns, then there is real hope in America. So long as there are homes where those lamps are lit by a power of prayer, there is hope for America. Although we have faltered and groped in the darkness of complacency, with the Lord God Almighty behind us and our prayers unto Him, great things can still happen. I believe that. We live in a great country. We have a great heritage, but we must, of all, recognize to serve a great God. A God not restrained by sin. A God not restrained by men. A God who gave us not only political freedom, but spiritual freedom in Christ Jesus. Someone who has said not too long ago, and it was very, very widely published, "God damn America." I say to you this morning, God bless America again. We need your blessing, Lord.